edition of the Episcopal Herald podcast. We are coming to you from Salt Lake City. EpiscopalHerald.com is an online magazine that imagines, articulates, and analyzes the future of the future Episcopal Church. My name is Christine Falstick. I'm the rector of Epiphany Church in Houston, and I'm here with a couple other folks if y'all want to introduce yourselves.
My name is Beth McGill, and I'm the missioner at the Episcopal Student Center in Austin, Texas.
And I'm Jimmy Abbott, the rector of Holy Comforter Episcopal Church in Spring, Texas, just outside Houston.
Thanks, y'all, for being here. I know that last time we talked about structure, and we talked about the presiding bishop election and the nominees. And so this time we're going to highlight a couple of the other questions that are going to be discussed here during General Convention. I definitely think marriage is possibly one of the biggest issues on the table. It's getting a lot of press over the internet. Beth, do you have any thoughts about what we can expect the conversation to be around marriage and same-sex marriage?
Sure, Christine. I think there are a couple of issues at hand with the marriage conversation. And I think the most basic question to focus on is what might the Episcopal Church have to say to today's world as to what makes a marriage Christian and holy? Now, the way that we're going to come at that is specifically with regard to our liturgies, to the services that we offer to both same-sex and homosexual couples in our congregations throughout the country. And so there's a couple of ways that that is going to be interpreted. And one of those questions is, what is the future of the prayer book? We currently have a liturgical resource developed by the Task Force on Marriage entitled I Will Bless You and You Will Be a Blessing. It is currently an addition to the prayer book. It is not a part of the prayer book itself. And so one of the questions is, will that be enveloped into the prayer book? If that were to happen, it would require a constitutional change, which needs to be voted on by two successive general conventions. That is something that takes a lot of time and intentionality.
So I have a question about that.
Sure.
As I understand it, a liturgy that is in the prayer book is and can be used throughout the Episcopal Church. Supplemental liturgies, like the one you mentioned, have, or each diocese and bishop has the discretion to approve or not approve their use in the diocese.
Correct.
So that gives each bishop then a little bit of levity and a little bit of freedom in that choice.
Correct. And I believe some bishops have even gone so far as to give congregational or priests in the in congregations the ability to decide whether or not their congregation is ready to use that liturgy or not. That's correct.
Because when I hear so much of the conversation about the Episcopal Church, about same-sex blessing, it seems to there seems to be an understanding that whatever decision General Convention makes will be true for the entire Episcopal Church, but that's not really the case.
That's correct. And I think what we need to remember is that if particular congregations are not in a place where they are ready to bless same-sex marriage, then they do not have to do that based on what is presented to us.
Because don't priests always have the discretion about who they marry or not?
Yes, that is correct. And one of the things that's important to pay attention to in one of the resolutions that is before us is that priests maintain that authority. And so that's not something that's being taken away.
Great. Well, and of course, as we watch to see what's decided about same-sex blessing, same-sex marriage here at General Convention, I think the whole country is watching to see what's going to come out of the Supreme Court as well. So that may influence the conversations.
I do want to add just one more little complicating factor. The resolutions that are currently before us in their in the form in which they have been presented from the Task Force on Marriage, it's actually a canonical change that they have proposed. And so there's some question about whether or not that's even constitutional. In order to change the prayer book, you have to make a constitutional amendment. And so there's some murky water here in terms of not the work of the Task Force on Marriage. I think people are grateful for the resources they have provided, but there seems to be a lack of clarity about if we're moving forward, how far are we moving forward, and what will be available to us after this general convention?
Well, there's definitely complications, but I'm grateful, Beth, we've got you here to guide us through it as we go through the next coming days.
Do the best I can.
Jimmy, did you want to comment a little bit about the budget? We know that every time there's general convention, a budget is passed for the next 3 years for the Episcopal Church. Did you have any thoughts about that?
Sure. So I'll be following the Program, Budget, and Finance Committee, PBNF, if you're in the know. I've just taken a summary glance at the budget, and in my estimation, it really represents a maintenance-based budget. It seems to be very heavy in the spending on administration and the sort of executive roles of the church, and really not spending in the mission of the church. Just a brief example in skimming down this, because we have a campus missioner with us, I looked, there will be projected $400,000 in campus ministry grants from the Episcopal Church over the next triennium, but weigh that against executive council, which meets four times in each triennium. Each of their meetings costs $200,000. The entire slated budget for the executive council over the next triennium is $1 million plus. And that, to me, is just an icon of where we are as a church right now, that we are very much focused on the status quo, on our administrative capabilities, rather than restructuring and breaking ourselves open to be a more mission-oriented church and a mission-oriented community.
Yeah, I love the way you pose that, Jimmy. I think I would be so curious as we continue throughout this process for us to identify some of the areas that we think could be more robustly funded in order to have a budget, which to me is a moral document. It's a statement of our faith and trust in God and what we believe God is doing in our midst. It's not just a matter of crunching numbers. So I'm really excited to hear your analysis of what areas you hope to become more fully funded.
Absolutely. And I think it's so clear from the New Testament, Jesus talks about money all the time. And this, to me, I think you're right. It's a moral document. So there will be hearings this Friday evening and Saturday evening on the budget, and I'll be at those hearings. I'm really interested to hear the comments from people across the church about where they see this budget needing to go.
I know a lot of work has gone into the budget to get it to where it is now. Do you expect there to be significant changes, or do you think we more or less have the budget that we're going to go forward with?
I think at this point, it's hard to tell. There are so many line items in the budget that I know it seems to me that there would be institutional resistance to changing it just because then it affects so many different things that my gut tells me that there may not be a lot of motion on it.
It's always hard because if you're going to fund one thing, it usually means you have to cut something else.
Right.
Yeah. All right, well, those are our thoughts about just a couple of issues that are going to be coming up before General Convention, both the comments and questions about marriage and also the budget. If you enjoyed this, please do follow us on Twitter. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or like us on Facebook. Send us an email if you have any thoughts. You can reach us at episcopalherald@gmail.com. And we do want to give thanks as we close out to Chase Carl, who does our music. And thanks so much for listening. Keep the faith.